Well, good evening. It's really chilly out there, but really warm in here, ain't it? So don't fall asleep. All right, if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 John. It's exciting. John writes this letter, and yet most people understand that the importance of things in life are not necessarily the things you thought were important. Rather, they are what we have, relationships. And God has put a desire in relationship for relationship in all of us to enjoy one another, but most of all, a relationship with Him. And so this is what we're going to be covering about 1 John and looking at fellowship and how God longs to have fellowship with each and every one of us. John tells us the truth about relationships and how to show us to have relationships. And so this is important as we look in 1 John about that koinonia, a time. You look at each other, and a lot of us, we get to know who we are on Sunday. You kind of know where everybody sits, you know, and because we built that kind of relationship, maybe most of us, had we known each other outside of church, we probably wouldn't talk with one another. But being that we know, we have a common interest because that koinonia that God gives to us, that fellowship of enjoying each other's company, especially that of the Lord. And so we have that. And so he talks about that. But what really destroys that relationship that we have between us and God is sin. And I kind of touched on this last week about Achan and his sin, but it was something severe that when I hear people tell and say to us or say to me and says, well, I didn't really, it just happened. Nothing just happens. It's premeditated. And you know when you're venturing off and you're doing things you shouldn't be doing. And it breaks that fellowship that we have with God that he so longed for us to have. And this is what I like about this was when God had told Joshua over in chapter 6, verse 1, he talks about the conquest of Jericho. He tells them about the victory, tells them and lays everything out to this victory that they're going to have. And you know, it's similar to us, that God tells us, you know, I'm going to do a new work in your life, and I'm going to show you things that it's going to literally blow your mind. And this is exciting because it's like, wow, I'm doing something that really I got a second chance on making things better than they were. And so everything gets laid out, but then we see in chapter 7, verse 10, the Lord told Joshua to get up because he was mourning, because what was told to him all of a sudden fell off. It didn't come to pass. And it's because sin does that. God gives us promises and loves to bless. You know, it's like when you see your children, you want to give them gifts, and it just blesses you. It blesses you to be blessed by watching them receive it. Their eyes open up and they're excited. It's like, they're looking at the gift, especially around Christmas or birthday parties, and they're so excited. Well, that's what we are like with the Lord. We got something new. We got something exciting that God is going to do in our lives, in our heart. And it's that fellowship because we know as a father, he loves us and he loves to bless us. And so we're excited about this. But then also when the gift is kind of taken back, we're like, what is wrong? It grieves our heart. And so here, sin does that. It grieves God's heart. And then verse 11, Israel sinned against the Lord. And so this is where separation happens. And this is what happens with us. When we take our eyes off the Lord and we start leaning to our own understanding, Proverbs tells us, lean not to our own understanding, because many times our own understanding gets us into a lot of trouble. And then chapter 7, verse 20, it says, Achan acknowledged his sin. And so here he realized, he acknowledged because he can't run from it anymore. And so he acknowledged his sin. And then it tells us in verse 22, the recovery of the stolen merchandise. Joshua sends him out to go and get all the stolen, and it was betrayed. It was Achan's sin that betrayed his own heart when he seen the Babylonians' merchandise and the shekels and the silver, and he puts all the spoils among. And you know, many times the enemy knows how to tempt us. along the ways when we think we need something. And it's like, I could really use this. It'll just be one time. But see, all it takes, that one time. And man, that devastation. And you know, when you're out of fellowship with the Lord, when you've been walking with them for a while and had that fellowship, and it's like, man, that is, and when you don't sense it in your spirit, it grieves your heart. And it's like, man, I know what it was like, and I lost it. I don't have it. Well, it's not lost. God wants to give it back to you. And God wants to restore it to you. And so this is what we have here in 1 John as we get into this area. And here, you know, John, the son of Zebedee, tells us where Jesus had gone and really called John and James and those that were in Galilee and brought them out as servants and Peter along among them. But in chapter 1, as we see this, verse 1 and 2, he tells us, it says, that which was born from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, and we have looked upon our own hands, had handled the word of life. And that word life, Greek, is logos, and it's the word that's used and highly respected, especially in the the old times of Old Testament. It says, for the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. Now, it tells us in John 1:1-4, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it established way before anything, you know, that we could ever look at how the Word was present with us. And today we have that Word amongst each and every one of us. Many people, and as you heard me share last week about going deeper, is that we want that deeper relationship, Lord. I want to get back to the place where everything seems so pure in my life, you know. And the reason things have become shallow many times is because we try to push the boundaries. How much can I do and get away with before the Lord strikes me? You know, and we should never try to test the Lord. But he tells us from the beginning, the Word was with us and the Word was God. And it says the same was in the beginning. All things were made by him. Without him, nothing or anything was made that was made. So everything that had to do surrounded the throne of God. And it says in him was life. And that's the most important part, life. And, you know, people, have you ever seen people that they're alive, but they don't look alive. They just look. Are you okay? You look dead. And I'm not talking about heathens. I'm talking about Christians. Sometimes, man, Christians, they can look sour faces. You never want to catch a Christian when they're fasting. I'll tell you, they go through some changes. You know, you look at them, hey, you want to get a burger? How dare you? What do you mean? I just asked you if you want to get a burger. Don't you know I'm fasting? And it's like, whoa, I tell you what, let's get you a burger and make you a happy camper, you know, because you've already ruined your fast. You know, but people, you look at it and says, but life. And, you know, so many people have been turned off about church and about Christians. Why? It's because they see a lot of hypocrisy and a lot of phoniness. And many times Christians, there are times a Christian looks very plastic, that they don't look real. And it's like they need to see the joy, the zeal of God in and through our lives, that there's hope. I mean, he brought us from drugs and addictions and jails and the streets and abuse and alcohol. I mean, there's so much that he's brought us from, that he is also the God of life that has given us. And in him is life, and the life was with the light of men. His light shines in and through us. Many of us and many people, the only Christ, the only God they will see is the God that's in you, the relationship that you have with Christ. People, they're amazed to see your life, and they're like, hey, why are you so joyful, or why are you always happy? You come to work, and look, it's gloomy, it's rainy. He says, yeah, ain't it a beautiful day? I said, what you been smoking? Well, I've been in the Word, and God's has refreshed me, and it's exciting, you know, and because why? We have that fellowship, and that fellowship that what? He longs to have with us. And you know, that to me, I look at, you know, there's people that you grew up with, and you know, some people, I don't like you, and I don't want to hang around with you. You know, it hurts our feelings. But here we have the greatest person in all the world, the greatest God, Kings of Kings, and Lord of Lords, and he wants to have fellowship with me. and he loves me. God loves you. And can you imagine? God of all creation loves you, loves me, and wants to have fellowship and wants life in us. It's exciting to see and to know that the life and the light of men is in us through Christ Jesus, of what God's doing, the transformation and the work that he's doing in and through each and every one of our hearts and lives. It's exciting to see that we have a fellowship with our Creator. It's not robotic, it's not plastic, it is real. He's allows us to be in tune with him, that we can open the Word of Life every single morning, every single day, and have fellowship with them. And it says, and here in verse 3, it tells us that that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. He says, look, you know, we can have that fellowship. It tells us over in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27, that in the beginning God created heaven and earth. And he says, and God said, let us make man in our own image, thinking of us of what God was going to do. And it says, after our own likeness, let them be dominion over the fish of the sea and over the flow of the air and over the cattle and all the earth and over every creeping thing, even those creepy spiders. You know, there's a lot of things. You know what bugs me the most? Spiders. I hate those eight legs spiders, you know. It's just that no matter, you know, and it's like you're so bigger than them. But they can still put fear into you. You know, and so, but anyways, in any case, he says, and over all those creeping things upon the earth, and he's not talking about you, you're not so creepy, you know, so don't think, well, they said I was a creep in school. Well, he's not talking about that type of creepy person. But he said, so God created man in his own image, and the image of God created him, male and female, created he them. What? He created for the fellowship, that we would have that fellowship. And this is so important for we to understand that God loves us so much that he wants, and the way we have fellowship is in here, and we look at it. You know, some of us, not until we came into the sanctuary here that we have, that we get to know one another, and we see it, and all of a sudden those external appearances of ourselves are starting to break down, and we're saying hi to somebody. And some of us, it's been years before we said, really, hello, how are you doing? Hey, it's good to see you. Because for many of us, that's not been our character for a lot of years. But that fellowship that God wants is why? Because he drives us to have that fellowship one with another. You know, and it's just like, look what that fellowship causes. It causes to build the relationship one with another. Reaching out. I love every time of churches, get up and greet one another. You know, what's sad is that sometimes we just go within 5 to 10 feet radius. You know, I love when I see Pastor John and Sally. I mean, they're way in the back, you know, going out there, you know, because why it's so, and I love when I see, because you're intermingling one another and want to be part of that, want you to feel special, because why? You are special. God looks at you being special. Why? Because you are special. And God is special to us because why? He's given each and every one of us another chance in life and to do it right and to do it better. That we could learn, and we're going to see that later on here, learning from our mistakes, learning from our experiences, that how much God has reached out and says, I love you with open arms. And so we see that. It says in verse 4, and all in these things write we unto you. It says, so we're given the things, what? To write unto you that your joy may be full. He says, we want you to experience the fullness of what you have in your relationship to be full. And what would that be? What would that actually be to be full? And what does he mean by this? That our joy may be full. Well, it tells us in verse 5. He says that this is the message. It's the message that he wants us to have. There are three things that I look at that are very important in this particular passage of verse 5. One of them is the message. It's getting the message, which we have heard of him. And that's the thing, is to share that message. is to go out and bring that message aboard. There's a passage in Isaiah, and I had a missions hat when I did missions called Missions, and I put Isaiah 6:8, you know, about having, declare to the world the message. And that's what we want. We want people to get them. We don't want people to get so much religion. We want them to understand a relationship. We want them to understand a fellowship that they can have with God Almighty, God All Creator. You know, people, and many times, and I don't care what part of the world you go to, people may be defiant when it comes to authority, but one thing they realize, when authority comes, they'll respect it. And you know what? We have God who's all authority, but yet he wants us to say, hey, look, what I care and what I want is to have fellowship with you. And so it's understanding the message, the gospel. And then he says, and declare unto you that God is light. And that's the thing, that God is light. And to me, it is looking that his holiness is who he is, that God is light. And nothing can bear down on God Almighty. The very third and last part of verse 5 that it's important, and in him is no darkness at all. There's no compromise. You can't bring darkness into his presence. It just won't happen. But darkness can shut you out from his presence. Darkness can shut off the light that's in you. Because you know what? If you look for some of us, and maybe some of us experienced here tonight, where our lives had compromised. And that zeal that you once had when you first accepted Christ is not like it used to be. Or it's like, you ever see those dimmers, the light dimmers? You can dim it to have it like a light, little, not so dark, but have a little light. Well, that's what it's like with some of us Christians. We have a dimmer, and our light is no more bright, but it's dimmed. And God wants to undim that dimness and bring light into us. Because sometimes you look at people's lives and you look and says, and you can see there's darkness that's filled. Why? That darkness that represents, you know, sin, or represents many things, or disappointment, discouragement, and just our unfright areas in our lives. And so he says, but there's no darkness at all. God can't entertain darkness. And he tells us that in verse 5 here. But he says in verse 6, and he tells us this in verse 6, he says, but if we say that we have fellowship with him, and we're walking around and like we have a nice King James Bible or New King James or whatever Bible you're carrying, it's very impressive. You spent $60 on a Bible and it's marked up and it looks really good, and you got a nice cover for it, and you've got all kinds of pins for it every day of the week, and it's very impressive. But if we say that we have fellowship with him, and we're here in church on Sunday, on Wednesdays, on Thursday mornings, Monday night men's study, and we walk in darkness. Because see, you can love God. I always tell people says, you know, and I've heard this over many years, and I'm sure you've heard this as well, where there's two things about this Bible. Either you'll love to really love the Bible, that will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. True, in some sense. But I've known a lot of people that's been in sin, but still been in the Bible. It's not as fresh to them. It's not so much convicting to them. They know exactly what to say and how to say it. But there's darkness in their lives. And this is something that I really truly believe when John was writing this letter about fellowship, is having fellowship, because fellowship can also be broken on our part. God is always there with open arms to love each and every one of us right where we're at. No matter what condition, God is a God of forgiveness and a God of love and a God of restoration. And we'll see that little bit here in a few more verses. But he says, if we say that we have fellowship, and all because your characteristic says this, and you're able to be even part of the church choir or the worship team, or you're ushering here tonight, or you're working the parking lot deployment, whatever it may be, your heart can still be filled with darkness. There could be still issues in your life. And if we say we have fellowship with them, but we're walking in darkness, we lie. You're lying to yourself. And before you know it, you'll start to believe that very lie. It tells us over in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, I believe it says. It says that God shall send them strong delusion that they themselves shall believe their own lie. Pretty soon you start to believe that because what you're doing and how you're living your life, it's okay. God understands. No. When sin is seen to be prolonged in one's life, you look at it where you hear the terminology, a God of long suffering. And that long suffering is waiting for your repentance. That God's trying to let you get it right and get it where it needs to be. Because why? He wants that fellowship. He longs to have that fellowship with us. And so he says, we lie and do not the truth. And that's what's sad. That we would lie and don't do the truth when we do that. See, God is a God of love and great compassion and a great of mercy and a God that cares about us and wants to fellowship. But we allow ourselves to be filled with darkness by the compromise. I think all of us at one time of some sort had allowed certain things to enter in. We kind of like, oops, I shouldn't have did that. Or, gosh, I wish I would never commit it to that. And you know, God sees that. And God sees our heart when we really have a repented heart. And because he says, look, we can't be walking and say we love God and we're not walking in truth. And we're not walking in light. And he tells us in verse 7 here, he says, if we walk in light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You know, it's so neat when everything's going the way. Yeah, we're going to have bumps in the road. And we're going to have some trials. But you know when God's right there with you and he's carrying you through those storms. And you know he's got you. And you know there's nothing you've done to think, well, is it this or is it that? You know, you're just like, you know you're in fellowship. There's nothing that you're worried about or stressed. Have you ever been called in by your employer or somewhere and you're like, wonder, what did I do? What did I do? You know, you're kind of worried because, let me see, well, last week I did, and you're trying to, and you're stressing yourself out because you think you did something wrong. But when you know that, oh, okay, great. And you go with the nonchalant type of attitude, hey, okay, I understand you want to see me. Yeah, I just want to say, hey, thank you for a job well done. Hey, great, thanks, appreciate it. Because see, when everything is in the light, there's nothing you're trying to hide. There's nothing you're worried about or you're stressed out about. Because why? Your fellowship is right where it needs to be. And this is where in our heart with the Lord is that when you know and trials come, it's not because, well, did I do something last week? And we get these weird things. Well, maybe it's unconfessed sin. And then we're praying, God, if there's unconfessed sin, you know, and it's like, you know when you sinned. As I said earlier, what's called premeditated, you know, it's not like, I don't know, it just happened. No, it just didn't happen. You already worked it up in your mind, and you've already knew what you were going to do, and you're trying to say, God, don't let me do it, don't let me do it, you do it. Well, God, I asked you not to let me do it. God is not going to force your hand not to do it. Just as he's not going to force you to go to church, he's not going to force you to read his word, he's not going to force you to pray, but he wants you to do that out of your own heart, of the love that you have for him, that you want to be in church, you want to be in fellowship. I don't like when people says, well, you know what, I'll just watch it on the internet. To me, that's cheesy. Because you know what, you're not really watching it on the internet. You're cooking over here, and you're walking away, and you're going, oh, what was that again? And you're not focused. To me, that's the most cheesy thing you could ever do. Now, I understand if you're in a remote area, like in Hawaii. No, but it's like even they have church. They just have it on the beach. We have it in the neighborhood, you know, but it's like, you know what? We need to make that personal sacrifice of God. I'm willing to drive 15 miles, 20 miles, 45 minutes because your word is important to me. Your presence is important to me. I love you this much is what I'm saying. You know, when you're, have you ever, obviously many of you have been in love. You know what love feels like? You're willing to stand in the rain to just have that girl one rose or a box of candy. You're willing, whatever it may be, or that guy. And you're willing to make all kinds of sacrifice just to prove your love. And then it's over. But with God, it's never like that. Is that God, I you know, when you're in love, it just gets greater and greater. And that love passion that you have, because the more you love on God, the more God just loves back on you. And he just pours his blessings upon you. So he says, for as we walk in the light, as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. And that fellowship is just reaching out to people. I don't know how many times that I... Or others or whatever, in conversation wise, I don't even know a person. And all of a sudden, we're just talking away like we've known each other for years. Why? Because the fellowship that we have that's so common about the Lord. And we're talking about God and what God's done in our lives and how great God is. And it's why? Because that fellowship. And it's great when you say, man, that was so neat. I would have never talked to that guy. But because that relationship that we have with God, we have fellowship one with another. The blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us, what? From all sins. You know, some of us, the enemy is still trying to allow you to feel guilty about our past. The things that you've done, the things that you've committed. And believe me, he's the accuser of the brethren. And he wants to remind you of the failure and the faults. And you know what? It's done with. It's under the blood. It's under the cross. He paid for it. He has cleansed us. And he's washed us away from all that madness and everything else. We don't need to live with the guilt and the condemnation that the enemy tries to impose upon each and every one of us. But rather, walking, he tells us, walking in the light, explaining in verse 8 and 10, where we see this, that if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And that if we say that sin, if we say that we have not sinned and we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So if we're walking in the light, as explained in verse 8 and 10, you know, we don't have nothing to worry about. But in Ephesians 5, 8 to 13 says, but all things are reproved and are made manifested by the light. It's the testing. It's the testing of our walk and our commitment, you know. Many times, you know, it's not that God's got to know. We have to know. You know, many times God allows us to see our own weaknesses, our own strength. And so he says, in this is that all things are reproved and are made manifested by the light, for whosoever do make manifest is light. When it comes out and it's like, you know what? You just show me your grace, your goodness, God, and your faithfulness. Even many times our unfaithfulness or untrusting God, he still showed us how faithful he is and how much he cares and how much he loves us. Though that the word of God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, shows the Christian that one, he still possesses the old nature. Hey, you know what? The enemy's not done. We still got that old wretched man in us. Remember in Romans? Oh God, who shall deliver this old wretched man of me? You know, we have the past that's there. We have that old wretched guy that every now and then wants to pop his head up and just look around, whatever it may be. That past is still there. But as we look at the simple fact that if we ourselves, in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. And we walk around, oh, I don't got no sin. We deceive ourselves. Because you know what? The simple fact is, these body wants to sin constantly. It's rebellious. It's sin nature. It wants to do. And that's why his presence, his word, is so important. And his fellowship with us is so important in our lives that we keep a consistency. Being his word, being in prayer, because we do not want to break that relationship. Someone, you know, when you've been married for a great number of years and you, or you have a spouse or you're in a relationship and you want to really strengthen that relationship, you don't want nothing to compromise that. Just like we don't want nothing to compromise my relationship. I will not take away the joy, the zeal that I have for the Lord as you see me up here, I'm like this at home with my family, friends, whatever it may be, because to me, it's important, our consistency. And the most of all that we see, too, what's important is that I don't want to ruin the relationship that I have with the Lord to even compromise that with the Lord. So, you know, but I know this body will sin. And that's why if I keep this body under subjection to the things of Christ, to his word, to his promise, to reading of his word, to prayer, to seeking God, it's going to stay on course where it needs to be. The discipline in our lives spiritually. And it says, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And then it tells us, the second thing needs forgiveness. This is the thing in our lives that we see, the forgiveness. In our lives, I believe there's many things that we see, and we're going to see this in verse 9 and 10. About if we confess our sins, and we're going to get to that a couple more verses here. But before I do, is to understand the forgiveness that God wants us to experience, his love. Maybe tonight we struggle, and we feel that we broken that fellowship. Our fellowship is with the Lord is not as strong as it were, and it's not as strong as I used to remember. The zeal is faded out in my life, and I really don't have the excitement and the joy that I used to have. And I don't know about you, but I know I've gone through this, and a lot of young Christians, when they first, you know how you want to conquer the world? You want to save everybody. And man, you would go out street evangelism just by yourself because you don't care. You want to tell everybody about Jesus. Hey, do you know Jesus? And people are like, looking, you don't care. You were just a billboard for Jesus Christ, and you told everybody. I can't help but I remember when I met my wife, I got her saved. I told her, you need to accept Jesus Christ. You're going to go. And, No, I didn't. She was already saved, and but I remember, you know, that she got saved, and I don't remember. She was just telling me the story, and how she went home and started telling her mom and dad about Jesus Christ, how they need to get saved or they're going to go to hell, and her mom just flipped, and just told her get out of here, you know. But she was just so excited. She loved her parents so much. She wanted to make sure they got saved, you know. But that's the joy and the zeal that we have when we're so excited, and I love when I see young Christians, they get saved, they want to conquer the world, and you tell them, settle down a little bit, but nah, you're just all dried up. I need to go out there, and I need to tell people about Jesus. And, you know, it says, okay, and you let them go, and they come back with a black eye, and, you know, and okay, can we talk a little bit here, you know, but they're just so excited. You know why? Because God is so real, and you know what? That's what we miss. The excitement of the Lord. And you know, sometimes when much been given to us, you know, when God has took us out of that pit that we lived in, the lifestyle we lived in, how we lived it, and he put our feet on solid ground, and we're like, wow, there's a real life. I mean, I'm sober. I'm not mixed up anymore. He's given me a new heart. I got feelings. And you know, it's the greatest thing that you could ever experience to what God gives. And he tells us here in verse 9, here's something that's very, very important. If we confess our sins, he, Jesus, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we ourselves, if we're caught up into something, if you're dabbling to something, he will forgive our sins if we confess it. We just, God, I did something that was totally wrong. I've sinned against you. And I like where David, when God told and shared how David had a heart after God. It wasn't because of his sin or prior to his sin. It was after his repentance. It was true repentance. He said, a man after my own heart. It wasn't because of he had a true heart of repentance. One that turned away from his sin and acknowledged God and truly repented. And this is where God sees us. If we confess our sins and just lay it out and says, God, I'm totally sorry. And, you know, it's not like, God, I'm sorry, and then you go back and do it again. But there's a repentance in our heart. The Lord, I don't want to live the life that I've lived. I don't want to continue to keep making bad choices. But I really want to turn from this. And you know what's interesting? In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my little children, these things I write unto you, and that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate, the Father, with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He goes, look, you know what? If you really repent it, and it becomes a struggle, he says, we have an advocate that stands on our behalf, that makes intercession for us and stands along with you, that you're not alone. Well, let me tell you tonight, you're not alone. God loves each and every one of you. He wants to have that fellowship with you. He wants to build that. There are things that are holding some of you down, and you've just continued and ignored it. And it's been that way for a long time. God says, let it go. I want to give you a fresh new start. I want to give you a new heart. I want to give you a new spirit. I want to put joy back into your life. I want to give you a peace that passes all understanding. I want you to have a freshness. You know what that's like? Have you ever been in a room that's real funky? Obviously, a couple of your rooms are real funky. And you open the window, and no matter, we have East LA smog, even that's refreshing. That's pretty bad when we grew up here and we opened the windows and we got that smog. Oh, breath of fresh air. But you know what? That's like God. You know, we open our hearts, we open our lives, and it's like breath of fresh air. God, that is so good. The freshness of the Lord, it just makes you want to go home and eat strawberry ice cream. Of course, I like strawberry ice cream. And then it tells us in verse 10 here, if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. You know, there are sometimes people, and I know what that means, it's, oh, I have no sin in my life. And I know what they mean. They're not practicing sin. But you know, this body constantly is out to prove you wrong. These bodies are out to do whatever it can do because it's dominion. It's a dirt bag. Really, you know? Have you ever heard officers call you? You know, inmates. They would, and no offense, you know, they call them dirt bag. You're a dirt bag. And you know, and I used to think about that, but you know what? They're absolutely right. We came from dirt. And this tent is just a bag. Because when you die, it just peels off. It goes back to dirt. So really, you are a dirt bag. So if someone calls you a dirt bag, amen to that. Because that's exactly what we are. These bodies are prone to live up to its word, being a dirt bag. But let me tell you that God loves you. God wants to do a marvelous work in your life and in your heart. And he wants to have that fellowship. He longs to have that fellowship. Some of you are just tasting a bit of it. You know how you like taste something and it's like, what is this? There's a commercial, Pringles. You can't just have one. It's like you can't just have a little bit of the Lord because you want more. And that's what we want more. And God wants you to have more and more of him. And as I shared last week, he wants us to go deeper into our relationship with him. He wants to show you so many things in your life, and it starts right. Revival is not about the church. Revival is in our own hearts and our own lives, and it starts with you and I. Getting our hearts right before God for him to do what he would love to do in our community here and our lives, and investing into our children and our neighbors and our neighborhood and our community and to one another. So important. Taking our bulletins, and when you go to the store, hey, I would like to invite you to our church. Letting people know, walking down the street, seeing someone in the front yard, hey, why don't you stop by Sunday morning? Especially when we have the Mexico ministry and there's food out there. Great time to invite, hey, I'll buy you breakfast, come to church. And do it, buy them breakfast, don't like weasel out. You tell them you're buying breakfast, then you hit the door, you know, and it's just like, I got him, I hooked him. No, don't be throwing those type of moves. Make sure you buy them breakfast. But tonight I want to ask you, I don't know, I really believe that going through 1 John and fellowshipping and having that koinonia, that time that koinonia is to break bread and to have fellowship one with another, that God wants to take the external hardness away and out of our lives, for he can do a brand new work. I don't care if you are leaders or pastors or ushers or any involvement, ministry lead, or just a person sitting in church here this evening. Only you know what's going on deep down in your heart, deep down in your life, the struggles, the inner struggles, that God says, I want you to break away from that. And I want you to experience his love and his goodness. Maybe there's hatred and unforgiveness. This is the time to let it go. To let it go. Hey, that's our song on Disney song, Let It Go. Yeah, let it go. God knew what he was doing. He was going to use that song 2,000 years later to tell us to let it go. But that's what he wants us to do, is to let it go. So as we worship, a time of prayer, seeking just worship, and as you feel led, and only you could do this, is to let the Lord do what God does best, and that's working and working our heart. You don't need to be embarrassed. The people here is not the one that saves you. It's God. People here is not the one that forgives you. It's God. Not unless you wrong somebody here and they need to forgive you because you wrong somebody. And if they don't want to forgive you, that's between them and the Lord. You just walk away and says, okay. But this is the time for us to come together and just really, really, really just says, okay, God, you got me on this one. So I'm going to have Pastor Brandon, Pastor Danny, Pastor James, and of course our Pastor John and his wife Sally to come up and Debbie, and just have some time in prayer. And you know, I believe, and we can have our worship, and just prepare your heart to what God wants to do. This is a time. This is a place. This is where it happens. And so I'd like to invite you up and have the guys come up and let's seek the Lord and pray. And I'm going to be honest with you. I really believe, even as tonight and as from last week to tonight, that God's telling us to let things go. And it starts with us right here. So if you would like to come up, time is now.
Long enough to calm the storm, fear crippling, safe enough to be my home when my world is crumbling, 'cause I have come to know love stronger than the grave. That in my darkest hour, you raised me up from death to life. resurrection power. Oh, your love is strong. Oh, your love is strong. And oh, your love is strong. And oh, your love is strong. Close enough to hold me tight, when fear is crippling. Safe enough to be my own, my world is crumbling. 'Cause I have come to know love stronger than the grave. That in my darkest hour, and raise me up from death to life now. And resurrection power, oh, your love is strong. And oh, your love is strong. Oh, your love is strong. Oh, your love is strong, strong, strong. Oh, your love is strong. And oh, your love is strong. And oh, your love is strong. And your love vanquished all my enemies, broke the cage that silenced me, and set this songbird free, free. 'Cause I sang for all the love you've given me. Rejoice because you've chosen me and called this orphan home. I'm home 'cause oh, your love is strong. And oh, your love is strong. And oh, your love is strong. And oh, your love is strong. Oh, your love is strong, strong. Oh, your love is 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 strong. Oh. oh, your love is strong. And oh, your love is strong. And oh, your love is strong. And oh, your love is strong. Ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Yeah, holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Oh, and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me. And I will not be shaken. and I will not be shaken.
And Father, we thank you tonight and moving upon our hearts and upon our lives. And Father, how you desire to have fellowship with us as we with you. So Lord, may we continue to build that, establish that within our hearts and in our lives. And Father, that Lord, you would go before us in all that we do throughout this week. And that you would strengthen us, our families and our loved ones, especially those that may not know you. And Lord, go before us. May you bless our time with our families tonight. And as we go our separate ways, give us traveling mercies and watch over us. Pray for our pastor, his wife Sally, the pastoral staff, the leadership, each and every one of us. Strengthen our hearts. Keep our eyes focused upon you. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll see you next week.